Welcome back. It is The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck. ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. Brought to you by Dan Kilman's Parish in Georgetown. It's funky. And it's Friday.
It sure is. Awesome. This whole show has been awesome. You know who else is awesome? Ron Oster. Awesome. In an age when, well, let's talk to him about this, about what I'm about to say. And, of course, tomorrow he is going to be over at the ballpark and with our buddy Tom Browning, who we spoke to yesterday, at this really great event. It's the Reds Hall of Fame weekend at the Legends at Whitaker Bank Ballpark. Let's say hello to him. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Hi, good. Doing well.
Good. Thanks for jumping on with us. Here's what I was going to say. You played your whole career with the Reds from 78 to 90. We don't see that too much anymore and haven't for a while. There aren't that many guys that spend their whole career with one team. Kind of makes you special, don't you think?
Well, I'll tell you what was special about it is being from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from and spent my whole career with the Cincinnati Reds. I had a chance when I hurt my knee in the 87. My contract was up the next year, and I had a chance to go with the Dodgers wanted me. In fact, I couldn't see myself playing with the Dodgers. In fact, I turned down around $1 million to stay home and play here. They offered me a contract, and I just, Reds fan since I was, since I can remember. So I was 4 years old or whatever, and it was special. Just I wanted to play Major League Baseball, and playing with the Reds is just unbelievable. Dream come true.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of Cincinnati kids end up doing that. I mean, just right off the top of my head, Ken Griffey Jr. didn't play his entire career there, but Griffey played in Cincinnati, was born there. Barry Larkin played his whole career there, was born there. Pete Rose played the vast majority of his career there, and you. Is it something in the water?
Some pretty good names, by the way.
Yeah,
that did that.
when I came up, we just had good. We learned the fundamentals in Little League and Knot Hole, and we had some good high schools with good coaches and things. And in fact, the one I don't remember exactly what year it was, but we had a Earl Winfield was from Cincinnati. We had Buddy Bell at third, myself at second base, Barry Larkin at short. Who was at first? There's a Pete was.
Oh,
first.
Him.
Pete.
And then, Dave Parker was with us. He was he's from Cincinnati. He was on the team on the Reds team that year. It's just there's just good high school coaching here and not old fundamentals. They teach you to play the game and baseball's big in Cincinnati.
Do you think it's something nowadays that, how you said you had the opportunity to go to L.A., they offered you a lot of money, and you turned it down. Is it now that is it just a different mindset for players where now they look to where, nowadays, if someone could go with the age of social media and go into a bigger market, is that just something where guys, everyone could choose, if most of them could, to stay with the same team their whole career, but they are just, the money has become the bigger thing now?
Well, it almost seems like it. I don't know. One of the biggest reasons I stayed here is I didn't want to raise my kids in Los Angeles. I love Cincinnati. It's a great kids. I can't see – Dodgers were our rivals back then. I couldn't see myself wearing blue. So I always bled red, and I couldn't see myself bleeding Dodger blue. But the biggest thing were the kids and the family. I wanted to raise them there. But now – I don't know how much money can you spend. I mean, it's crazy. I had an agent tell me 8 years ago the most I made was $650,000 a year in baseball, and I'm not complaining. That was great money back then. First 50% went into the taxes of the federal government back in the days I made the most money. I had paid 50 days and 50% in federal taxes. I'm not complaining. I mean, I got great money, but. I had an agent tell me, this was 8 years ago, 8 years ago. He said, you know what you'd be worth nowadays in your prime years? And I said, no, I He said, I'm worth $8 million a year. This was eight years ago. I didn't want to know that. I don't know that. But what do I, that's 1 year. What do you do with that money? I put the money in the bank and live off the interest, and
yeah,
my grandkids would be set for life. I don't have their mindset. I love to play the game. I remember when I first signed, and then they were offering me a contract, and my first couple of years playing, I was thinking, man, I'd sign for $100,000 a year for the rest of my career.
Yeah. But that's how you felt.
And yeah.
We understand all, the fans, Ron, all of us, we hear that. Now, it's all about the times you live in. We know that. But I had a conversation one time with Terry Francona, with Tito, and he, 1 year with the Indians a long time ago, he hit 340 something, and they brought him into the office and offered him a $5,000 raise. I mean, and we're all this talk, but we hear $240 million over 5 years. How much money can you spend?
Exactly. It gets crazy. I'll tell you what, and I don't care. You know, if they didn't have the money to give out, they wouldn't.
Right.
If they didn't have it, as long as you play the game the way it's supposed to be played, you give it, you play 100% every out, every inning, every pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You owe it to fans, your teammates. You owe it to, and what bothers me if I see, and I know money's part of the injuries and things too, but it seems like they get a hangnail now and they're out for 2 weeks, 3 weeks,
yep,
just with a hangnail.
Yep.
I don't know if it's the players or the management or money has something to do with that, but it's frustrating. And I tell you, baseball to me right now is sad. It's in a sad state. It's not baseball. To me, it's not baseball. It's home runs and strikeouts. And it's the last time you saw a hit under a bunt. And that can win you games. It's not the long ball and this and that wins games. It's the fundamentals and the things that you grew up learning how to do. Get a guy over to second base with I'm not real happy with baseball right now. I don't want to call it baseball anymore. I don't know what it's called, but some of these rule changes and things and the way they're playing, it's disappointing to me.
I think I'm speaking for Jimmy and Sean too. We talk about this stuff a lot, and it's really good to hear. That's the first thing we usually ask ball players. I have friends that were ball players and played for a long time, and we want to know how you guys feel about it, because it's the way that we feel about it too. I can't believe that the shift that every team uses all the time now, where nobody's on the left side of the infield, I can't believe guys don't just hit a ground ball to the left side of the infield. I can't believe it.
I don't understand. It's hard for me to watch a baseball game. It really is. I fall in bed and I wake up and I'll look and see what they did and look at the highlights. But it's hard for me to watch the game that they're playing now, because it's not baseball to me.
Right.
It's not hard. You're going to shift the guy over. Bunt the ball over there. Catch the ball. And bunting is one of the easiest things you can do in baseball. You catch the ball with the bat.
Yep.
And then that doesn't get them out of the shift. Just keep doing it, and then sooner or later, I don't know. I really confuses me. It's sad. I'm not happy about it. And I talk to other players. To me, it's a joke, and to them, I think it's a joke too. The way they're playing the game now. I got my opinions. I might be wrong, but we did it wrong for 150 years. They finally got it right again.
So you were in the minors, and I guess prior to the minor leagues in your high school career, you were primarily a shortstop. Is that correct?
Yes.
And Concepcion wouldn't move aside for you?
I came up as a shortstop, and then they had Concepcion there, and then they had Joe Morgan at second, and I'm thinking, well, where do I go?
that's a tough lineup to crack.
Yeah.
And luckily, Joe Morgan decided to go free agent, and that's when they moved me to second base.
That was nice of Joe.
Yeah, it was good of him. Joe was always about the Reds, thinking about the best move for the Reds.
Yeah,
you played almost 1,200 games at second base. That's
it's a lot of games.
That's a pretty good career, Ron. And
yeah,
I did.
It was fun. I don't. I work now because I didn't. My, you know, was younger. Now I'm a groundskeeper up at El Paran Park, and everybody's like, "Why are you working?" And I gotta give you something to do. I said, "Because I didn't work. I played a game."
Yeah,
make
yeah.
it fun.
And you decided to go out on top. You retired right after the Reds swept Oakland in that 1990 World Series. One of the great stories in baseball. I mean, nobody gave you guys a chance against those monsters, and you went out and beat them like a drum.
Yeah, and that was an unbelievable year. I mean, I played for a World Series ring. You play to win. I played to win. I won the World Series ring, and I finally got it. They had an option year on my contract the next year. They didn't pick it up, and they wanted to renegotiate the contract and things. And I said, "Well, I got my." And you know, I was a utility player back then. You know, then in 1990, Duncan was the second baseman, and I liked to play. And I knew that I wouldn't be, you know, starting, you know, every game anymore. And if I wouldn't have got my World Series ring, I probably would have played a few more years. But I got my World Series ring, and
good time to go.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to ask you to speak ill of the Reds ownership, other than to ask if it was as big a circus as it seemed like with all the stories we heard coming out of that team, and even a little after you'd left with Miss Schott. Was it as
he's left?
Yeah. Okay. I think I got my answer.
I didn't have a problem with Marge. I really didn't. That she was eccentric. I mean, but I'll tell you what, she wanted to win. She wanted to win bad, and we needed to get a couple players to she opened her pocketbook, and then and she got them, and she let us get them. But I think, she was just eccentric. But she, you know, she did some things that she said some things that she shouldn't have said. But I didn't have a problem with her. I will tell you this, you know, when she brought the dog around, Shotzi, she brought it around, but she brings the batting cage all the time, and that dog smelled so bad. That dog never, I don't know if it ever had a bath. She wanted us to pet it and get the fur off of it for luck. I would see her come out to the outfield. I didn't want to have anything to do with
it. I shag more fly balls. I'll
this
be back
is
later.
So good. All right. Go ahead.
She was something else. She's Mars is Marge.
Yeah. All right. We only got a couple of minutes left. This tomorrow, you and Tom will be out there. You're going to take pictures with the fans, sign autographs. And this, when we spoke to Tom about this yesterday, this Reds Hall of Fame 1869 Red Stockings team is cool. This game is cool with no gloves and a little bit bigger ball and all the stuff they're doing. We're going to beat that Miami 9 team like a drum. I mean, they don't have it. They don't stand a chance.
Yeah, but I was wondering yesterday, and maybe Ron knows because I don't. Is this Miami, Florida, or are they the Miami, Ohio 9?
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure. I think it's Miami, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
That would make
That makes it even worse. Yeah. No, that makes it even worse. but they have this exhibit that's coming down. The whole thing is really cool. And I think there are going to be a lot of people out there. Your 1990 World Series trophy is going to be out there, too. All of it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It sounds like I got the schedule. It sounds like it's going to be a good time, and it's going to be great for the fans, and it's just going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be beautiful weather.
Yep.
Too. So.
Yes. Yep.
There's that. We got lucky with that. All right. It's so great talking to you, Ron. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we can catch up with you down the road again, and have a great time this weekend, and be well. We really appreciate it.
For sure. We got to do it again.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Thanks a ton, Ron.
Okay.
Best to you guys.
Wow.
That was
freaking cool. He and Tom were
pretty good. Both back of those to back guys.
Pretty good. Awesome. It's pretty good. That thing about the Shotzi, I'm going to laugh about this for a while.
I've heard stories about Shotzi, and yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I can see that he's probably right in what he says.
He handled that perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, she was eccentric. Understatement of the Year award.
Eccentric.
Probably got both of him and Tom probably got some stories.
All right. Well.
A few.
We've had two great guests so far, and I can't wait for this. Jay Williams. I call him Jason because that's what I'll always call him, because that's what his name was and is when he's like a son to me, except he has a lot more money. Not the typical dad. He'll join us after the break. It's ESPN Sports Radio at 1300 92.5.
The Drive brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.